Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 13. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace, which is, quite frankly, a lie. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. All the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Thus says the Lord, stand in the way and see. And I come across an intriguing portion of Scripture. And ask in all that's new, and all the new fangled stuff that's coming to the body of Christ. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. And ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we refuse to walk in it. You may be seated. I'm going to share a message this morning. I would have two or three entitlements on it, but I probably would settle for this one. Familiar landmarks. Familiar landmarks. You know, some of you might be looking at me and saying, Pastor Wayne, you're getting up in age. You know, you've been here with us for 10 years, and I've seen you age. And let me just give you a real good notice. I've seen you also age. Some age better than others. And I've always tried never to fall into the trap of doing things the same way I've always done them, because then you get the same results. However, I never want to compromise doing something new and compromise the truths of the Word of God. You see, there's a fine line that we need to draw on the sand. We need to make sure that we are in all the new things that are coming to the church, that we must make sure that everything that comes into the house of God and under the banner of the blood of Jesus Christ does not compromise the Word of God. Trust me. The Bible says that there would be a great falling away. Turn to your neighbor and say, great. The Bible says and predicts that there will be a great falling away. Even as a pastor, I have seen a falling away in the Church of Jesus Christ. Some of us, every one of us, if we're worth our salt, would say that at one point or another in our life, never mind before Christ, but even since Christ, we have had a time where we have fallen away. Maybe we've acknowledged it. Maybe we've understood it. Or maybe until God brought it to the light, we didn't realize that we were compromising. How many know that it takes just the proverbial drip that once in a while just keeps dripping, but it drips steadily. And before you know it, if that stopper is in that sink, that whole sink can be filled up. How did it happen? Gradually. You could also entitle this message, Beware of the Gradual. It's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that we compromise on that lead us down the path, which we could call the new way. Now, methods can change. I don't believe that we should package things the way we used to package them. Bless God, way back in my heyday. I've done things differently since I've come to Maine. I'm from Maine to here. And the methods might change. But you've heard me say this in 10 years. If you've heard anything, and if you're here for the first time today, listen, the method can change, but the message should never be compromised. So, you know, I'm all for new things, providing those new things are good things and biblical. But I don't think that we should ever throw the old paths under the bus just because we want to do something new. Just because we want to do something new. The scripture says in verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. I want to entitle it familiar landmarks. You see, when we're on this old pathway, along the pathway are familiar landmarks. I thought about maybe, you know, getting together stop signs and yield signs and all these kinds of things and not have anything on them and hold them up, and I could be my own prop here and I could do that and you would guess which one it is. Because you had to do that, at least I hope you did, to pass your road test. For some of us, we need to be reintroduced to that, amen? But you see, that's what I want to talk about today. Familiar landmarks. You see, in this scripture, there is written a portion of this entire scripture is written to a nation that has lost its way. Beloved, I'm sad to report to you that I'm an American and I'm proud to be American. I'm not sad to report that to you. But we're not the nation we used to be. You know, I mean, this president that's in office, or the next president that comes in office, or whomever it is down the line, lest you think I'm picking on somebody, they always blame it on the last administration. Or you could be a pastor and come into the church and you're the best thing since Swiss cheese. I mean, I've heard it. I've been into churches and I become the pastor, and they say, you know that other guy? I say, excuse me, who is it? Was that your former pastor? He's not some other guy. Regardless of whatever you thought of him, he was a man of God. And when you speak of him, you should honor him that way. So I'm all for some new, you know, whatever God wants to do, new, as long as it doesn't compromise the truth. But what had happened here is there was a judgment. The word came out of the very mouth of God. Look at verses 13 to 14. From the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone, turn to your neighbor and say, everyone. Everyone deals falsely. You've got to be careful who you listen to today. And can I say something with you without not wanting to rip apart anything? I don't care if it's TBN. I don't care what it is. Make sure whoever teaches and preaches to you that it's the word of the living God. Come on, church. I'm not speaking against any ministry. I don't have time to rip somebody else's ministry, because when I do that, four fingers could be pointing right back to me. However, we need to make sure that we just don't listen to someone because it makes us feel good. We need to be anchored in theology. Study of God. We need to be anchored in the Word of God. Thank God for music and praise and worship that's coming. You know, that from the throne room of God. And then some other stuff that's coming, if it doesn't have a message, then it's kind of fluffy. I'm not in for fluffy. I want something that's going to rile my feathers. I want something that's going to get in my face and make me to turn to God like I've never turned to Him before. I don't want it just to make me feel good. I don't want you to give your report card today. Hey, I think Pastor Wayne did a great job. That's not why I'm standing here. I'm saying to you once again, the church is at the crossroads here in America. Never mind in the world, but right here in America. And there's great compromise that's coming into Christendom. And the scripture says here, the prophet says, you need to be careful. Look at verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when really there wasn't any peace. Please don't zone out on me this morning. Strong word from the Lord is given to redirect God's people, to awaken them to their personal responsibility to stand and see and ask, am I walking in the old paths? Am I still familiar with the landmarks that got me to Christendom? Or have I forgotten those to something that's a little swifter, a little bit more expedient? It might feel a little better. Have I considered that? See, it's a strong word from the Lord, and it's given to the people to redirect them, to awaken them to their personal responsibility that they must stand and walk in these pathways. You see, the good way, many of the prophets and the priests had lost their fear of God. I'd like to ask you a question today, church, and I'll ask myself the question, where has the fear of God gone from our churches? Where we fear man more than we fear God. When I stand up here, I stand with fear and trepidation. I fear that if I give some erroneous gospel, or if I just want to awaken, you know, someone's emotion, that I just stand here and I'm actually trying to wax eloquent, when actually what it is I could fall prey to just exactly what they fell prey to if I'm not careful. If I'm not really careful in studying to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. You and I need to be men and women of the book. Amen? Of the word of God. Of the word of God. The old path, God bless you. God's way, the good way. And many of the prophets had forsaken that, and they become greedy. And you know what? Not only were they greedy, along with that, they became very materialistic. Can I tell you, and I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom and gloom. I've seen a lot to do in Christendom of materialism. If you got a big flock of people, if you got a great big budget, and I'm not against that. Don't, you know, I want to grow. I don't want any empty seat in the house. I want us to reach beyond this area to the far recesses of the world. I don't want to shrink. I don't want to cut back our budget. I don't want to cut our missionaries out. I want to go forward. But I also want to make sure that when we do that, we don't do it compromising one iota. See, there was covetousness that came in. It was self-gain. They were prophesying falsely and deceitfully. And they were saying what the people wanted them to say. So what were they doing? They were doing what the scripture says. Actually, they were basically tickling the ears of the people so that they could get the applaud of man, so that they could be looked at as some great prophet or prophetess or whatever. Listen, long before this pastor dies and leaves this world, you will forget my name. But I pray that you will never forget the name of Jesus Christ that I desire to lift up in this auditorium this morning. That you'll never forget his name. You see, because anything less, what had happened were, what they were doing is this. They were producing a spiritual cancer that was destroying God's people. They were covering their sins. Listen, which I think we can do sometimes, in religious activities. Well, I'm busy. Listen, in all of our busyness and our religious activities, if we're too busy to fast and pray and seek God and spend some time with him, we're too busy. We're too busy. And the spiritual cancer was destroying God's people, and they were covering their sins with this activity. Jeremiah was a true prophet of God, and he told the people that they needed to know the truth for themselves and not be deceived by false priests and false prophets. The Bible says that it be true that many people can be deceived in these last days. Many shall say, Lord, Lord, but they will not. Everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. And you might say, well, pastor, they speak in tongues, they praise the Lord, they do this. Jesus said, listen, people could do all that, but they still could deny my name. Because only God knows the motivation of a heart. You can't judge my heart, and I can't judge your heart. But God knows our hearts. And he wants us to be familiar with those old landmarks. And because things are coming down the pike as swiftly as you and I cannot even keep up with, let's not forget the old path. Let's not forget what got us here, baby. Come on, let's not forget what led us to Jesus. Amen? Come on, can I get a witness? Let's not forget that. It's very easy to get caught up in a gospel that is a gospel of convenience and a gospel of comfort. Hallelujah. A gospel without a cross. A gospel that permits you to think and say and do anything you want. A gospel that denies the grace of God and exalts self. Anything that chooses itself to be right and acceptable, then I'm all for it. I don't want that to happen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 14:12. If you don't, it'll be on the wall and it'll be your cheat sheet for this morning. The scripture says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Now, you go two chapters later in Proverbs 16:25, and it's exact, word for word. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Listen. When scripture is that close saying the same thing, God is trying to drive something home, because this is very important. God doesn't repeat himself or allow the prophets or the writers of his word to repeat themselves if it were not important. It's very important. Anything the Bible says two times close to one another is so important. Look at what Paul says in Galatians 1:8. He says, but though we, or the angel from heaven, an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that we have preached unto you, any other gospel, let him be accursed. Well, you know, an angel came to me last night in a vision, and he told me it was okay for me to sin. Garbage. You had too much pasta to eat. You had a lot of pizza that was loaded or something. Because God's not going to come against this word. Amen? Today, like never before, we need to heed these words. You see, I'd much rather preach something that really would make you do spiritual cartwheels today and make you really say, whoa, praise God, that's really great. But you know, I want to go back to the old path. I want to go back to the familiar landmarks that in Christendom, when I accepted Jesus, when I was you know, a sophomore in high school, in a church where I didn't even understand anything from anything. I had never read the Word of God until my sophomore year of high school. But like never before, do we need to ask some important questions concerning what is happening today. And if it has new on it or whatever it has, we need to ask some questions. Is this preaching and teaching? Is it about the cross? Come on, church. You say, Pastor, this is so basic. Let's get back to the basics. If what's being taught and being preached, does it mention the blood of Jesus Christ? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. Do we see the Son of God dying on the cross? Not some little sissy up there with weak mamby-pamby muscles, but we're talking about he who could have called 10,000 angels. But he said, Tetelestai, it is finished, which means he carried it all the way to the nth degree so you and I could sit here today in comfort and be able to worship and praise him. So what we're listening to, does it include the cross? You'll say, but Pastor Wayne, this is so basic. Listen, some of our Assemblies of God churches are falling far left. Some are relegating the Holy Spirit to the back room. There's a concern even in Springfield, Missouri, about some of the things that are creeping into the church. That's just this fellowship. But we're part of a greater fellowship. I've learned a long time ago, just because you're a servant of God doesn't mean you're the only one. Listen, I believe people that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, regardless of their affiliation, hallelujah, are part of the family of God. This isn't some spiritual clique. But we need to be concerned. Never mind about other places. We need to be concerned. What is being taught? What are we teaching in our Sunday schools? What are we teaching right here at New Life? We need to make sure that it's a familiar landmark. Do we see clearly the dividing line between sin and righteousness? Very important. We must look for this familiar landmark or these familiar landmarks. Here's another one. Is there an altar? Come on, church. Say, Pastor Wayne, you're being so basic. Let's get back to the basics. I want to tell you one thing. God has done more for me around an altar than anyone has ever done for me in my entire life. As a sophomore in high school, I used to be at the altar praying, and it had the scripture, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And I said, God, most important is salvation. But God, everything that you have for me, Jesus, if you thought it was important before you left to say that I want to empower my church, then Lord, I need to be empowered. I'm a sophomore in high school. If I go back to that class, go back to those people and back to sports and those guys that I was hanging out, they're going to eat me alive. I need your power. I need your power. Well, you say, well, God only, oh, he only fills certain people. No. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, hallelujah, the baptism and the power of God, of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. And if you hunger for him, if you want him, how did I get filled? I got filled not so much seeking a gift. I sought the giver, and I was at youth camp, and we're having an incredible time of worship, just like these guys were doing today, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit right in the middle of the praise and worship service. Hallelujah. Did I understand everything? No, I don't understand everything now. I know one thing. I need his power. I need his power. It's the repentance of sin. We're talking about familiar landmarks. In the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking of the tongues, is there salvation, healing, and deliverance? Are there signs and wonders and miracles? I still will never forget what hit that school in Africa, the last school that we ministered at to. They were far from Pentecostal, but they were hungry. Some of the kids, the first 50 kids, were the troublemakers in that school. We were outside. They had waited for us for 2 hours. And my son John, son-in-law John, preached the word of God of how God helped him when he and Lorene, they got pregnant and they were working on the nursery. They were ready to have this child. But in the midst of all that, they lost the baby. And they told the first part of the people who were applauding, but you should have heard the silence when they said, no, we lost our baby. That toughness, that blindness broke. And the power of God swept through there. And even without anybody laying hands on people, nobody pushed them, nobody breathed on them, nobody did anything. They fell like dynamos in the dirt, and their hair became all matted, and their bodies were filled with dirt. They didn't know what hit them. They tried to get up, and they couldn't get up. It was not man. It wasn't a denomination. It wasn't the assemblies of God. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're here today and you're saying, I feel something different in this service, Pastor Wayne. What is it? Is it you? Is it the worship team? No, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus loves you. He wants you. And He wants me. Familiar lampposts, signposts, if you will, that mark this old path. We better not get off it. I said, we better not get off it. Because there's a great price to pay. Is there a concern, a burden for the lost? Is there a weeping and an intense prayer for the lost? When's the last time, Pastor Wayne, when's the last time individuals in this service, you cried, tears actually came down your face for the lost? That's why we exist. Not to have a hallelujah club here. Not to have stats saying we grew, here's the graph. That's good. We want that. But beloved, we want to see people saved. We want to see lives changed. Beloved, I was changed not because of religion. I was new to it. I never heard anything about salvation. But when I hit that church, even though I didn't understand why they had their hands up, I don't know, you heard me say this, I didn't know if they're checking deodorant and I heard somebody else babbling in some language and I was sitting there with one of our state kids because my mom used to bring them into her homes and we were kind of kidding around, fooling. But you know what? I couldn't get away from one thing. I felt something there that I had never felt before. Not in a football stadium, not pitching baseball, not playing sports, not any religiosity. I felt what I now know and identify as a tremendous landmark. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And it changed me. And He's still changing me. He said, but you're radical, Pastor Wayne. Oh, I pray I get more radical. We must never substitute movement, listen to me, for progress. Well, we just moved a little bit. Don't substitute movement for progress. Please get that. Please understand that. Or don't substitute activity for power. Or don't substitute gold for glory. Come on, church. I want the glory of God. I want the manifest presence of God. In the Hebrew, it's the kabod of God. I have been around the glory of God. I have felt the glory of God. I've been hit by the glory of God. But it's been far too long since the glory of God has been dispersed in a service at New Life to the degree that God wants to descend His glory on this place. Because let me just tell you one thing. When the glory falls, there'll be no music. There'll be no offering. There'll be no preaching. But we'll be on our faces before God. And He will touch the recesses of our heart. Because I don't want phony baloney. I want what's real. I believe in progress. But all movement and all change is not progress. Are you with me? We must ask ourselves, does the change bring me closer to Jesus or not? Now, I want to make sure this is based scripturally. So, 1 Chronicles 13:7-12. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm sure it'll be up here in just a second. But David was led astray by what I would like to identify, which I think has hit the church. And I'm not into spirits. Here a demon, there a demon. Everywhere a demon, demon. But it was a Philistine spirit. It was a Philistine spirit. And what did he do? He followed their example by putting the ark of God's presence in a new cart. Oh, Pastor, we just need something new. No, we need to be reintroduced to familiar landmarks that have gotten us where we are today. Hallelujah. I talked with Jason's dad. He and I connected from the very beginning. There's not that much age difference. And we even recognized and everything that's hidden, our fellowship and other fellowships, that unmistakably there is compromise that's coming in to try to cheat us out of the presence and passion and power of God. And he said to me, he said, Wayne, he said, that bothers me. We sat for hours. It seemed like it was just minutes. Just reminiscing and talking. These weren't two old fogies. Now, listen, I don't care what you thought today.
If you thought it was too loud,
if you thought it was this or it wasn't that, it's not about you. I love you with all my heart. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the gospel. I felt the anointing of the power of God. You saw me down there. I said, if we ever get a worship team, when we get the worship team, hallelujah, thank you, Father God, I am going to be just as free to worship you, whether we have a team or not a team. But you see, God is just doing something in our life. But he took the ark. It was something new. He took the ark from the shoulders of the priest where it was put there by God. And said, well, I got this big idea. We need something new. If we just change the furniture a little bit, new life, they will come. No, 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 no. If the presence and the passion and the power of the Holy Ghost is in this place, I don't care if we live on a dead-end street. I don't care if it's out in Timbuktu. People will come. If you build it, Holy Spirit, they will come. Come on, church. And what did he do? He tried to substitute. He was kind of tired of the old path and figured he'd do something new. God ordained that the ark of his presence would be carried on the shoulders of the priests, moving one step at a time, directed by God. God had entrusted his presence and his power to the shoulders of men and women of prayer. And can I tell you something? From all that time to this time, things have never changed. He is still entrusting it to men and women of prayer. Amen? Men and women of passion. God's work in the earth is dependent upon the prayers and the intercession of God's people waiting on him for direction and for guidance. Very important, church. It still takes fasting and prayer. It still takes sacrifice and self-denial. It still takes prayer and waiting on God in total obedience. Anything less, oh, it might be a shortcut and it might be a new cart, but it's not worth garbage. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Look at 1 Chronicles 15:2. Then David said, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever." Look at verse 13 of 1 Chronicles 15. It says, For they yet did not do it at first. The Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not in due order or after due order. What does that mean? It just simply means they did it their way. I did it my way. I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it Yahweh. I want to do it his way. Hallelujah. We must not be deceived by the spirit of the age. Hallelujah. We can't, listen to me. We can't go anywhere doing anything, listening to anything we want, saying anything we want, and do all we want to do in the name of Jesus Christ. I know this might sound insane a little bit. It's probably not a way of growing a church. But beloved, we need to have the truth. We cannot just go out of this building and do anything we want and still have the anointing and presence of God on our life. We cannot watch what we watch or listen to what we listen. You see, I like the lyrics. I like the tune. If it's not glorifying God, who is it glorifying? You say, Pastor Wayne, you're old-fashioned. No, I just want some familiar landmarks to renew my faith and invigorate my spirit today so that I won't get off the beaten track trying to grow a church. Amen. I want you to look to another portion of Scripture, and it's very important, in 1 Kings 12. You see, Jeroboam became king in Israel. Remember that? And all the tribes but one followed him. Who did the other tribe follow? Don't get your Jero and your Rio mixed up. They followed. But Jeroboam, I might get it mixed up, was afraid that the kingdom would turn to Rehoboam. So what did he do? I mean, he had all the kingdom except for one tribe. So he conjures up this particular thing. He said, we need to do something new. I said, we can grow the church. Let's do something new. Hallelujah. Let's have a circus and invite elephants to come inside the church. I can remember a year ago on Palm Sunday, I was going to have a donkey. I was going to have an animal come in. Other churches do that, and they do it because they're able to do it better than us, because they're set up better than us. I can remember and then I had nightmares. We could have plastic, and then that animal would be coming in, and whatever he was fed prior to that could get messy. We actually had it out in the parking lot, and it did. And I said, oh, God, thank you. Because the church is messed up enough without messing it up any worse. So what did he do? 1 Kings 12:28. He designed a plan, a new way for Israel, leaving the old paths, shunning the familiar landmarks. And he designed a plan, a new way for Israel, leaving it. Whereupon the king, 1 Kings 12:28, took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go all the way over to Jerusalem. We'll make it convenient for you. We'll just melt down some stuff. We'll have two calves right here in your neighborhood so you don't have to travel across town. We'll make it convenient for you. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of Egypt. Look at verse 29 of 1 Kings 12. And he set the one in Bethel. Bethel means house of God. And then Dan, judge, to means judge, Dan. These actions were complete pollution and corruption of the house of God. And it was in rejection and rebellion directly against God. Look at verse 30. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Verse 31. And he made a house on high places and made priests of the lowest of the people that were not of the house of Levi. In other words, he put people into the priesthood that God never intended to be put into the priesthood. Compromise. This new way turned the people from God. And they accepted a religion of convenience that required nothing for them. And just but their attendance and their time. And can I say something? I love you with all of my heart, but that's where some of you are. If I could just come once in a while, show my face, even pay my tithes, that'll be enough. Can I tell you? It's not enough. We are part of the body of Christ far more than we are planted right here in New Life. We are out there into the world, and we need to share Christ. Their worship was false. It was a direct rebellion against the command of God to make any graven image of worship of any other god. Finally, the priesthood became polluted by that which was unfit. They had unfit people dispersing the word of God. They were unqualified. They were not qualified. And only God can qualify who's qualified. You know what I hear the Holy Spirit saying today? I sure wish you would have picked out something better on Labor Day weekend. But you know what I hear the Holy Spirit saying this morning? Stand ye in the way and see and ask, the scripture says, for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk in it. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk there. Can I tell you I love you with all of my heart? But some of you are living in rebellion. You know what the Bible says? When you say rebellion, it's synonymous with witchcraft. Because rebellion is witchcraft. And you say, Pastor, why pick on us? I'm not picking on you, because you know what? Preachers rebel too. Come on, church. Every one of us can rebel. If I can just get something new. If I could just do something new. Finally, the priesthood became totally polluted. You know what I hear the Holy Spirit saying? Ask for the old path. You know what got you there? I talk with some of you. When you talk about it, even some of you have come from other churches, and when you talk about what got you to where you are now, your light, there's a light on inside of you. It lights up your face. It lights up your talk. For some of you, you know, this is just a place for you to be, maybe for a season. Who knows? But long before you ever got here, you had an experience on an old path. And what I want to do is I just want to reintroduce us to familiar landmarks, to what got us there. And to make sure that we don't compromise anything and substitute something that's not of God. Just to get a crowd. Just to get attendance up. Just to have a good time. Ask for the old paths. Many have departed. The old paths. Many have despised. The old paths. Many have traded. Listen, His presence for presence. Did you hear me? His presence, God's presence for presence gifts. You know what I need today more than I need? Well, I felt the anointing in this place. That's what I want. I need the power of God in my life. I need the presence of the Holy Spirit on my life, on my ministry. We need it on this church to greater degrees than we've ever experienced. So don't trade His presence for presence. Many have chosen gold for glory and the praise of man, and they've exchanged it for the praise of man for the praise of God. You see, I want you to understand here that this wasn't a huge crowd that was on the old paths. It was just a few. Because the prophets had forsaken him and the priests had forsaken him. I hear a song, it's an old song, though none go with me, still I will follow. I've decided to follow Jesus. Oh, you say, Pastor Wayne, you're an old fogey. No, I'm not. I've done things at my age now that I never did when I was back then. So I'm up for it. Whatever God has. If he wants to wrap that method in a different dress or a different pair of pants, I'm all for it. But if it removes the familiar landmarks for what got us there, it is nothing more than idolatry. It is nothing more than compromise. And so you say, Pastor Wayne, are you preaching at us? No, I'm not pointing at you. Four fingers are pointing back to me. I had prophetic words been over me many years ago, like you've heard me say before, and I didn't believe it because I was going through a tough time in my life. And those words were this, that the latter years of your ministry are going to be greater than the former because you're going to minister to hurting and broken people because you have been broken yourself, and it's only out of brokenness that there is openness. Some of you have been crushed. Some of you in your marriages, it's all hell is coming against it. And your relationship at work, your jobs, and your ministry, whatever it might be, it seems like everything is crashing in. Can I just say to you and say to this preacher, let's not trade the familiar landmarks and the old paths for a new cart that doesn't have His presence on it. Would you stand with me, please? You've been so patient. I want to reiterate this. It's not a huge crowd on the old paths. But the ones who have walked there are the ones, and maybe the group can come up and play something softly. Thank you, guys. But the ones who have walked there, listen to me, are the ones that I want to hang out with. If it's a few, then I'll hang out with a few. Do you hear that? There's not a lot of people that's walking that path. Oh, you say, but yes, they are, Pastor. I wonder if the rapture were to take place right now, if Jesus would take His bride out, I wonder how many people, I'm not judging, let's not even go outside the church. I wonder on that day of the rapture, how many people would be left behind because they're stooped in religiosity. They want a quick fix. I just want something to feel good. I want everything that's biblical. Amen? Hey, if this means nothing to you, then I'm preaching to myself. But when I see the weeping prophet weeping over how a nation had fallen from God, I see the correlation between that time and the time we're living in now. And listen, the Bible says that there would be a great falling away. I don't want anybody's blood on my hands, including my own blood. I don't want there to be a great falling away in this church. I want there to be a great ingathering and an outgoing of the body of Christ, vibrant, carrying the presence of the Holy Spirit on our shoulder, not on some new carpet. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, please, eyes closed, no one looking around. I wonder if you're here this morning and say, Pastor Wayne, I've not made a commitment to Jesus. I've really not. And I know that my life isn't right with God. But I want my life to be right with God. It's not about joining New Life. It's not about, you know, some preacher trying to, you know, preach to your emotions so that you'll make an emotional decision. But you have a form of godliness, perhaps, but you're denying the power thereof. You have a religion. You once made a religious exercise, but you never turned it into a relationship with Yeshua, with Jesus. Or you have, but for whatever reason, you have chosen a new cart. You've chosen regular, rather than shouldering the presence of God that you've been carrying all your life, you've traded it in for a new cart. Makes you feel a little better, but when it's all said and done, when we lay our heads on the pillow at night, God just keeps waking us up with those familiar landmarks, saying, get back to what got you there. Get back to it. Get back to it. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you touch people's hearts and lives today, including my... I want you to come, those of you that are going to be helping me around the altar, and I want you to come and take your positions, please. And I just want, if you're here today and you just want to recommit your life to Christ, or you've never committed your life to Christ, or you need prayer. Maybe you've been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you really want to be filled. Or you're going through something difficult. These people are not going to judge you, nor am I going to judge you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to believe God with you. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I want to use the latest. I like technology, even though I'm not good at it. That's why I try to surround my life with techie people. I want to use whatever measure, as long as it's good and it's righteous and it's wholesome. But I don't want to forsake those old paths that Jeremiah was speaking about. Because you know what I believe? Because of God's grace and mercy, He's thrown up to you right now in front of your face and my face. Here's some familiar landmarks that's got you where you are now. Don't get straight off the course. But come to me. I want to pray, then I want to invite you to come. And then if God's finished with you, the guys are just going to be playing and singing and just leading us to the throne of God that way. I just say that, you know, it's still young. It's only like 5 after 12. You know, football's not until later, whatever, that you're going to watch or whatever you got to do. And I'm respectful of your time, but don't leave the door and bypass those familiar landmarks. Let's return to them. Amen? Let's return to them today. Father God, I want to thank you for your presence. And I never want to exchange your presence for presents. Things that make me feel good. God, I thank you today that you're moving by your Spirit. And that, Lord, you once again have put those familiar landmarks of our faith, of Christendom, back in our pathway to remind us. That's what anchors us to you, Lord. The cross, the blood, the power of your Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, your word, souls. The answer to any church that's going through difficulties is new blood. What's that mean? People getting saved on a regular basis, coming to the foot of the cross as excitement to the family. Father, I pray, don't let the altars at New Life get barren. Oh, Father, as John Knox cried out, give me Scotland or I'll die. Rachel cried out, give me children or I'll die. God, give us spiritual children that we can see saved. So, God, continue to have your way in our hearts and lives. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Just make yourself come. Just come. If you want to just come and seek the Lord, just come and seek Him. If you feel like the Spirit of the Lord is finished with you, then be dismissed. Just kind of fellowship in the foyer, because I really believe that there are people that are going to come. They just want special prayer. They just want to come and recommit ourselves to Him and draw close to Him. God bless you.